we're told in the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 20, that we're more blessed to give than to receive. But are you doing that in your own family as a couple? Are you giving to the church and to other good Christian causes? Well, we're going to talk about that today. I'm John Fuller, along with Greg Smalley. And Erin is a busy woman. She's not here today. We'll hope she's back soon, Greg.
Yeah, feeling a little bit under the weather.
Okay. Well, let me ask, in a previous episode, you mentioned about how you've made giving to your church automatic. You do this just an automatic deductible. How did you and Erin come up with, A, giving any money away, and then, B, how much to give to the church?
Yeah, I think for Erin and I, it started with really digging into the scriptures. So what is the Bible saying about tithing and stewardship? And you think about a Leviticus, you know, 27:30, a tithe of everything from the land belongs to the Lord. So, I mean, our money, I mean, that's really the Lord's.
Yeah, tithe is biblical talk for 10%-ish.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit. So the very first and best of what we earn, we want to give that back to the Lord. So Erin and I started by just really digging in and going, what does that mean for us then as a couple? And then we made that a matter of prayer and really seeking guidance, you know, asking God for wisdom and what does a generous heart really mean? And so, you know, I think as we understand scriptures, we really make that a matter of prayer. The goal then is for Erin and I to come to a place to where we make a decision in a way that feels good to both of us. Mm-hmm. And there has to be that mutual agreement. And I always tell men that it seems like when we talk about a biblical leadership, that usually that discussion revolves around, well, you know, I need to make decisions. It seems like, weirdly enough, the only thing we talk about is making decisions. And I'm telling you that leading within decisions means that I recognize that Erin and I are equal. We have both amazing gifts and talents. We want to tap into that. And I lead us through a process of going within this decision. So talking about tithing, let's find something that feels really good to both of us. Let's make that a matter of prayer. Yeah. Let's find something and make that decision together. And I think that's biblical leadership in this area. And that's what Erin and I really try to do and how we conduct ourselves within our marriage mm-hmm. together.
Well, I appreciate that. And we're going to hear a little bit more about this now from a conversation in which Focus President Jim Daly was talking with Bob and Linda Lottick, who shared about the need to give to the local church.
The third part of your formula is to give all you can. I mean, as Christians, we want to do that, but sometimes it's hard, like we've mm-hmm. said. You know, I think the national survey data shows that I think Christians may give somewhere around 3-5%. Yeah. I don't think it's near 10%, the tithe, as mm-hmm. we call it. Yeah. But and then some, you know, you're tithing off the net, not the gross, all those theological debates. Yeah. Bob, you had a great experience at a church, I think, with a part-time pastor or a temporary pastor who got some point across to you. What was it?
Yeah, so...
was it a great experience?
was that a great experience?
No, I was at this church. It was actually down in Florida when my car broke down, that whole story. And a small little church, 70 people, and they brought in a guest preacher for the weekend. And anyway, and he was preaching this message, in the middle of it just like stops, and he's like, who here isn't tithing? And it's a small church, and we're all like, everybody's looking around like, do I have to answer that? And kind of thought it was a rhetorical question, and he just like asked it
he
again.
He was waiting.
And waiting for an answer.
Let's find them.
And you know, I'm a new Christian at this point. I'm like, is this normal? Like, I have no idea, you know? And so time goes by, and I'm like trying to crawl out of under the seat. Like, I just, it's so awkward in this room. And finally, two guys raise their hands real sheepishly, and then he calls them down to the front, publicly berates them in front of the rest of us, and then sends them back to their seat and just goes on his way. And anyway, and it was just a moment where I'm like, God, is this normal? Is this what it's supposed to be? Like, as I thought there was something about us being cheerful givers that you liked, and this didn't feel like that to me, you know?
No, it got the point across.
Yeah.
That's not the experience you want to have, certainly, as a new believer in Christ, mm-hmm. and then the pastor that would do that. You share an illustration in the book comparing giving to the county fair. Now, I've never given to the county fair. Is that something that we're supposed to do?
Oh, no. It was just kind of our analogy. Do you want to take this?
Sure. So we talk about, we have a county fair in our town every year, and it's real fun. The kids love it, you know. But when you go, you have to buy tickets in order to ride the rides, right?
Yes, of course.
Yes, this is how it works at most fairs. But the problem is when the county fair leaves town, your tickets are completely worthless. You can't trade them in for anything. You can't get your money back. Like, you buy the tickets and you're stuck with them. That's it.
Yeah, and so in the context of what we're talking about in the book, it's like our money, like, I just don't think it's that different than that, where it's like we have this money while we're on earth that we can use to store up treasure in heaven. This money is going to be worthless at some point very, very soon, mm-hmm. but we're eternal beings. And the Bible says that when we give, one of multiple ways that we're storing up treasure in heaven. Mm. And so that's just kind of how I think about it. That kind of reframes my perspective on giving, because like part of what I'm trying to do is help people find ways and reasons to be excited about giving. And I think that's the reason that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Because God wants us to know, think long term, think beyond here and now, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's a good attitude to have, but that motivation sometimes, especially when things are tight, that can be hard to put that first, even though it's pretty clear when you do put it first, the Lord ends up blessing you in so many different ways.
Greg, you've worked with so many couples over the years. How do you encourage generosity? Let's say a couple is really struggling. I mean, I'll just put myself back in the early days where we didn't have anything. There was no margin, but we still were committed to giving.
Right.
How do you convince couples that it's a good idea to open up the pocketbook and give?
Yeah, and I love what you're saying, because it's not about the amount. It's about where our heart is at, our motivation. Are we being obedient, honoring to the Lord? And as we function in a way to say, what is God calling us to do? What is His will? What does He want us to do? There's a joy in that. When Aaron and I submit to God around finances or whatever area of our marriage, that brings a joy. There's something that just feels good. There's benefit there. And so Aaron and I would highlight that with a couple, you know, the joys of really giving, focusing on really coming up with some shared goals. So there's a benefit when Aaron and I sit down and go, you know, we want to give to our church, but boy, what else are we passionate about? Mm. I said in a previous episode that we adopted our youngest daughter from China, and so she was in an orphanage for almost 3 years. Well, that is such a passion of ours to support that work that this amazing Christian couple, you know, from the U.S., they're over there, they're serving. We want to support that. Mm. And so that has become a shared goal. Aaron served on the board of crisis pregnancy centers over the years. She's a former labor and delivery nurse. Her mom, her birth mother, was on her way to terminate Aaron's pregnancy, and someone intervened that was a part of a crisis pregnancy center.
She's got a real passion about it.
Yeah, and I recognize that. And so for us to talk about, so which crisis pregnancy center do we really want to help support? So wherever we live, it's usually let's find one and be a part of that. And we do that here in Colorado Springs. So I think when we make it that joint effort to where we're coming together, we're talking, we're dreaming together, we're finding areas that we're passionate about to give to, I think all that is how we honor the Lord and how we benefit from that. And so really sharing that with couples that, boy, when you function like that together, there's such benefit to that.
Yeah, and I can't make a promise, although the scripture is pretty clear. If you're generous with God, He will He will not leave you high and dry. He will respond in kind.
Right.
And so much of the scripture says that it's good to be generous.
And John, and that's how we create a legacy of giving within our family. I mean, that's what we want our kids to see. So that's why we do talk to them about that. You know, Annie, our youngest, they send us a calendar every year of this orphanage in China. And we always go through that with her, going, hey, this is your family too, and a part of our giving is to your orphanage, and look, here are the faces. Yeah. So all that creates really a legacy of giving, which is a big part of what we want as well.
That's generational impact. Yeah. And so we hope you've been encouraged, and that you'll take some steps toward better financial stewardship, or really just turn up the knob a little bit on the intensity of your giving. Maybe just try to outgive God and see what happens. We've got great resources here at Focus on the Family. We've been around since 1977, and we've got a lot for you as a couple. One thing I want to point to is our free online marriage assessment, which addresses finances and romance and conflict and scheduling and sexuality. There's so much to this free marriage assessment. Take 10 minutes, maybe 15, as a couple to go through this, and then you'll have talking points for the coming months and years, frankly, to be on the same page, to learn more about your differences, and to handle your money in a more unified way. That's free. We'll link over to it in the show notes. Also, we heard from Bob and Linda Lottick, and Bob's book is terrific. It's called Simple Money, Rich Life. It's full of their story and practical advice and some really good steps to get on a good path. Get a copy of the book from us here at Focus on the Family. And when you do, make a generous donation if you can to support the work of Focus to benefit couples around the world. Support the show, and we'll send the book to you. And the details are in the show notes. Next time, we'll hear how Bob and Linda were able to give $1 million away.
Wow.
It's a pretty awesome part of their story. For now, on behalf of Greg and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.
Is your marriage holding on by a thread? For deep hurt, you need deep healing that only comes from the Lord. And you'll find it at a Focus on the Family Hope Restored Intensive in Michigan. Our licensed Christian counselors will help you and your spouse get to the root of your issues in just 3 to 5 days. And it works. 80% of the couples are still married 2 years after attending. Learn more at HopeRestored.com and talk with a trusted advisor. That's HopeRestored.com.